Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. My name is Rod, and I am so excited to introduce today's guest on our show. A lot of the times we talk about how beneficial travel is for our children and how many intrinsic and amazing qualities that they're developing by experiencing the world. But our kids are still young, so we can't really say what kind of effect it's going to have on their future. But today's guest can definitely tell us. We are excited to speak with Andy Steeves today. Andy is a travel professional, writer, and entrepreneur, and you might recognize his name a little bit because his dad is Rick Steeves, the pretty famous travel guide creator. He's traveled all over the world and runs this huge travel guide business. But in this conversation, we really can't wait to dig into what kind of travel experiences Andy had in his childhood and how that's led him and developed him into the life decisions and the path that he is on today. So without further ado, here is Jessica's conversation with Andy Steeves.
Andy, thank you so much for being here with us today. We're honored to have you on our podcast and for our audience to get to know you better.
Jessica, thanks so much for having me. It's great to connect with you guys again.
Tell us a little bit about you so our audience can get to know who you are.
Sure thing. I'm a Seattle boy. I'm from just north of this town, and I absolutely love the Pacific Northwest, but I grew up in a traveling family. My dad is Rick Steeves. He's the guidebook writer, the TV show host, the radio show producer. They have all sorts of exciting things going on over in Europe, and my dad would drag our family around Europe with him whenever he would go to update his guidebooks or make a TV show. And so I had this unique background of growing up traveling throughout Europe. And by the time I graduated college, I saw an opportunity for a business for American students abroad in Europe to take weekend and spring break and summer break trips. And that's what I've been focusing on for the last 10 years or so. And in the last couple, I've had a guidebook come out, I've pitched on ABC's Shark Tank, and I have my own podcast, Andy Steeves Travel.
That's awesome. And it feels like you are following in your dad's footsteps, and it definitely had an impact on your life, which we're so excited to talk more about, how these travels impacted you and kind of formed, I guess, who you are today. So what do you remember? I guess I always wonder, because our kids travel and a lot of our listeners have full-time traveling families or travel on the weekends. What age, I guess, did you kind of start remembering your travels?
Ooh, good question. So my parents like to say I've been traveling my entire life, including once in the womb to Europe. So like I've been traveling before I remember. My first memory was when I was actually roughhousing with my dad on an overnight ferry from Copenhagen to Oslo. So you can go on kind of like a big ferry, small cruise ship, overnight situation, go to sleep in Copenhagen and wake up in Norway. We were roughhousing on the bed and he swiped my legs out from under me. I landed on my back and it knocked the wind out of me. So it was such a vivid experience that I thought I was dying or something, that that's kind of what locked my memories into place. But it wasn't all bad, and there was no abuse, no bruises or anything. But that's when I kind of anchor my memory.
And how old do you think you were on that experience?
Probably, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, something like that. Old enough to roughhouse. So probably like 4 or 5, right?
Yes. They say kids always remember the traumatic, like not traumatic experiences, but like, you know, not necessarily the beautiful moment. Yeah. The moment of panic, I guess. Yeah.
When your eyes get wide and you don't know what's on the other end, but no. But yeah, so that's, we would go over as a family. My dad would spend 3 months over in Europe each year. And so my mom, my little sister and I, we'd go in the middle of that long trip to kind of break up that family separation. And, you know, when Rick Steeves is in Europe, he's working, there's not a spare moment. And as a 13-year-old kid walking, you know, through your 7th restaurant, just because dad needs to find the best restaurant in the neighborhood, when all you want is a cheeseburger, you know, that's also pretty traumatic sometimes. So, you know, me and my sister grew up learning how to travel independently from a very early age. And then since I had a chance to travel independently, it's really opened up a completely new experience, a completely new continent to me.
How do you, like when you think back on these trips and your memorable moments, we always wonder like, what will our kids remember? Do you remember like the monuments or the beautiful places you visit? Or do you remember more like interactions with your dad, your sister, your mom, or, you know, kind of like the typical moments that would happen anywhere in the world?
You know, that's an interesting question. As a kid, it's not that you see these massive monuments and think, ooh, that's really important. You just continue playing soccer with the kid in the square in Venice across from you. And if your soccer ball bounces off St. Mark's Basilica, I mean, it's just one more column that gets in the way. So it's an interesting environment to grow up on. And when I'm kind of reflecting on that, I haven't really thought about it in that sense, but as adults, we come with a background. We come with our history, high school history classes, right? So we know that the Eiffel Tower and Big Ben in London and Colosseum in Rome and St. Peter's Basilica there in Rome, along with the Sistine Chapel, all that good stuff. We know that's important. So we come with kind of that expectation to be odd. But as a kid, it's just part of the environment. And more than remembering sites, I just have that kind of deja vu sense when I go down, when I go around all sorts of random corners in Europe. I'm like, I've been here before, but I never really know for sure.
We always notice that with Santi, you know, even at Angkor Wat, we're all excited to see, you know, Angkor Wat and the history behind it. And my kids just want to play peekaboo in the temple. Mm-hmm. And so for them, I agree with you. It's more like Santi's always looking for kids to play with, regardless if they speak the same language. And he's always just, you know, he's just a kid in a new environment. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so cool. And more than, you know, we're talking about memories here, but I think just as important to that is Santi, for example, is learning from a very early age the beauty of diversity, that you can have friends of any size, shape, and color, right? And any background, and any language, and any culture. I think that's so, that's going to be so fundamental for someone like him as he grows up to understand and be able to relate to people all around the world. So it's that childish way to put yourself out there. That's something that I'm always also aspiring to do when I'm on the road. It's a little bit difficult at times. It's a little awkward, but to be that extrovert is something I'm always aspiring to do.
I find it interesting that you say that because Rod and I always say as adults, it seems so much harder to put yourself out there. And I don't know if it's more like as an adult, you realize there's a chance of being rejected and there's these like fears or whatever, but kids never seem to feel that way. Like as a kid, they just have a sense of, I want to have fun and you're another kid. And so I feel like they're barriers to entry, I guess you could say, in a friendship or conversation are much lower.
Yeah. Well, while adults, we have to rely on wine and
yes, very true. A beer or two before. Yeah. But our kids, I don't know if it was the same for your dad, have helped us meet a lot of people because people I tend to connect quicker with children.
Totally. It's like when people, I'm not a dog person, but when like people meet each other in the park because they have dogs, like it's kind of like with the human version.
Yes. So yeah, true. Like,
oh, so cute. What's his name? How old? You know, that's it. But absolutely. It's all about sharing something in common, whether it's kid to kid and a soccer ball or people from different places around the world with a family of the same age. I think it's great to find whatever you can to share something in common.
Something I always worry about, and I know it's something talked about in the travel community. You know, a lot of us are filming YouTube or we're taking pictures. Sometimes we get to have the flexibility of just catching them in the moment, which is really nice. And sometimes when you're working for a hotel, you obviously have different areas of the hotel you have to capture with your kids. And so sometimes there's a sense of guilt to some degree that, you know, our kids aren't employees and they're not, I guess, actors or models or whatever, but we're asking them to do these things when they necessarily aren't at an age they get to choose. Did you ever feel that like as you're growing up, your dad's recording all these things? I'm sure you're asked to participate to some degree.
Of course.
Like, this is a job I didn't sign up for.
Here's how it went. It was like, but dad, I don't want to. You will walk over this bridge for the sixth time and you will smile and be happy because we haven't got it yet.
Do you like now as an adult to resent that at all? Or do you kind of think, well, I was providing me amazing opportunities, so I understand. Yeah.
I resented it for a time and then I'm over it. You know, it's like, I'm over it. Not a big deal. But, I would have interacted with the kids in a different way, you know, like look for incentives. You gotta consider the, you know, I always prefer the carrot rather than the stick, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. So, we bribe a lot with ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream or, but I hear you. It must be tough if you're on a contract and you got to get those beautiful shots. I mean, you guys, your Instagram is like a family paradise, little utopia. And I'm sure it's not always like that on the road. And
no, there's a lot of behind the scenes moments.
Right. In Thailand or whatever, they sedate those tigers so that people can take pictures with them. You can't do that with your kids. So, you gotta, hopefully those ice cream will help.
So like you've had all these amazing experiences. How do you think that like traveling as a kid or even just traveling your entire life, like how that has impacted who you are today? Like, did it make you a more open-minded person? Did it make you crave that travel or did it make you kind of want to settle down and not travel?
Mm-hmm. For me, travel has it's shown me that there's always different ways to look at the same issue. There's always two sides to every coin. And it's shown me that what you might consume passively in media, be it radio or TV or podcasts and so on, doesn't necessarily reflect reality on the ground wherever you're talking about. And so I find that it's so important these days to go to destinations yourself that may or may not be considered mainstream or safe and find your own truth because there's so many filters that information goes through these days. And more often than not, it's by somebody or some organization with an interest. So I really like going to the source and talking to the people there to understand really what's going on.
So now you obviously have written a travel guide, like you're similar, in your dad's footsteps. When it comes through, you've seen your dad do this for years, actually doing it on your own.
I've never known anybody that works nearly as hard as my dad. I mean, I'm, to be honest, I just moved into his basement. And through a series of coincidences, my grandpa passed in November. My dad's split up with his partner amicably. And he was just like, why don't you move in? It'd be great for us to, catch up, spend some time together. And it's been amazing so far. That being said, for the last 6 days, he's barely left the couch working on a bunch of TV scripts and a series of guidebooks that are being finished and working on scheduling for his researchers. He has a team of researchers that check the facts of his books each year. So all these different things that he focuses so hard on doing is really quite admirable. And the impact that they're making, not just in the European travel space, but also philanthropically is amazing. So they're in all sorts of projects to support the elderly and abused and single mothers and to help them get their, back on their feet here in the Seattle area. They're doing so many amazing things that for me, it's just something to aspire to. I mean, I've been doing my own thing independently for the last 9-10 years, but I'm eager to kind of join the ranks because each year there's a guide summit and 130 of the most amazing individuals come to Seattle. And there's a week-long workshop that touches base on everything from accounting and customer service policies to emergency response to reviewing individual itineraries. All that's going on, and these are the most incredible people that you could imagine, and 130 of them all put together in the same place, on the same team, working in the same direction. So for me, I've been kind of on the sidelines for the last 20 years, but now I'm looking to get more and more involved. The growing up drama with Rick is you can't ignore that work ethic and that commitment to helping Americans broaden their horizons, and it's I feel fortunate to be anywhere near it.
That's awesome. It's amazing that one, you have that relationship with your dad, and two, that his passions were always a part of your life growing up. And that now that you're an adult, like, yes, you did your own things, but now you can kind of take everything you've learned and work with your dad and how to kind of create your own thing, but move forward with the legacy he's created as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your travel guide as well that is for Europe and it's geared towards college students, correct?
It's geared towards the modern budget traveler of any age. So the guidebook is called Andy Steve's Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. And you can get that in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and of course your local bookstore, which I highly recommend. And it features 13 of my favorite cities around Europe. And the foundation of this guidebook isn't really a specific target market. It's really meeting today's European traveler with where they're at. I figure that you probably have 2 or 3 weeks and you're going to come to Europe. Maybe it's your first, second, or third time. And you want to see the major cities like Paris, Venice, Rome, Barcelona, Edinburgh, Dublin. Before I wrote this book, I found that I was carrying 2 or 3 guidebooks for each country and going to 3 or 4 countries. And so I had so much paperweight. I find that this book really achieved in a good way, helping people maximize their time through a recommended 3-day itinerary for each of my favorite cities, the top nightlife, the most exciting districts and neighborhoods to stay in, to eat in, to shop in, to explore. I love farmers markets and I love viewpoints. So I'm sure to include one of those in each chapter. And I mentioned like where's a good place to get a workout in, whether it's run around through a park in Rome or, you know, along the Arno River in Florence. All these things are just the information that I wish I had when I was traveling myself. So the second edition came out last year, and the feedback that we've been getting is just really exciting.
That's so awesome that you were able to do that. How, when you're writing this book, do you ever think, hey, could I have done this with a kid in tow? Like my dad did.
Here's the thing. I've been able to do what I've done, as much or as little as it is, by keeping most serious responsibility at arm's length in my life, namely kids.
I don't blame you.
One of the trade-offs is having a serious long-term relationship. That's of course a challenge when you're on the road for 7 months at a time. I'm driving a 2002 Honda Civic, and I live in my dad's basement. You know, my ongoing costs are as low as they can possibly be. And I've done that deliberately so that does free up my time so that I can be extremely selfish for the time being, doing what I want to do when I want to do it, going where I want to go. And you know, I'm just blessed, or I'm just fortunate with that background, that kind of safety net. Cause I know a lot of people are graduating college with a lot of debt these days. I couldn't do it if I had that. If I had car payments or anything like that, it would make it quite a challenge.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because I think everyone sees, at least for Instagram pages and stuff, these travelers have these glorious lives and they're at all these nice places. And I think that they don't realize that a lot of them also sacrificed a lot back home in order to do that. Whether, you know, a lot of Instagram people we know, like us, the very little we own is stored at my parents' house. When we went back for Christmas, we're back with my parents. So in order to have that opportunity, it required a lot of minimalistic thinking, you know, on the back end, because the reality is things weigh you down with as far as what you can do freedom wise. And very few people get to have the best of both worlds. It's not impossible, but it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there.
Yeah. And it's absolutely a matter of prioritizing. For me, I'm happy with, you know, 3 pairs of shoes throughout the year and, you know, about 2 or 3 pairs of jeans and pants and 3 t-shirts and 3 button ups and a week's worth of underwear. And that gets me through the year. And it is a question of priorities. For some people, they like the latest gadget. They love, you know, going to, maybe they love skiing or maybe they love gambling or whatever it might be. It's up to you to, you know, prioritize and, align your daily activities with the direction and the goals that you, the direction you want to go and the goals that you have.
Here's a random question. I know this podcast is about you predominantly, but does your sister still like to travel avidly, or did she take, they always say like, you know, if you grow up in a traveling family, usually you go one extreme or the other.
Yeah. So, Jackie, my sister, she's 28. She is a English, well, I guess she's 29 now, which means I'm almost 32. She absolutely loves teaching English, in high school in Los Angeles. She's at a private school down there teaching. She did her undergrad at Georgetown, worked for a few years in Chicago, and then came out with her boyfriend to LA, to continue teaching and enjoy the nice weather. So, for her, it's always been more of an issue she, for her, community is really important. She loves having her church congregation. She loves having a relationship with a pastor or a priest. She loves close friends that she can count on and that she can depend on and do stuff with. So for her, staying put in one place is more important. Whereas for me, I'm just a cold-hearted bastard, and I don't get too sentimental, because I feel like even I've been here in Edmonds, my hometown, in near Seattle for 2 months, and I've seen my friends like twice. It's just because everybody has their own life. And early on, I made the connection in my mind, I'm not really missing anything at my hometown. I love it. I want to end up here. But in the meantime, now would be a good time to travel and go and experience the world. So she'll do, you know, for her vacation are beach trips, you know, anywhere there's sun, she'll bring a book, and she's a happy camper.
That's awesome. Cause I always hear that people go, you know, either in one or two directions. I think, as you know, for our kids and for like you, when you were younger, you travel so much, especially I think you said you guys went a lot in the summer for your couple months with your dad, you know, you miss out on those friendships during that time. So it is a sacrifice. So that kids will either grow to be independent like you are and kind of not really care to have those close of relationships that they depend on, or they'll completely crave that community sense where it's like, I kind of want that connection.
Yeah. Well, how long do you guys stay put in one place at a time?
So we are kind of bad. We're on the super fast travel track. We usually are only at each place for a week. Which we are going to try to slowly extend to about a month or two, because I do feel like, you know, when you're there for a week, yes, you just get a snippet. It's hard to really immerse yourself in a community or into a culture or really, you know, get involved, because we'll be in Thailand for a month, but we'll move to different cities each week.
Yeah. So I would encourage you guys to do the month to 6 week, pace. Moving around every week, yeah, that can add up. I could understand how that's exhausting, but it's a huge upgrade from 3 days to being somewhere for a week. But when you're somewhere for a month to 6 weeks, then you can really make some connections. And you know, I made my closest friends in kindergarten, and I was just with them for a year. Whereas my cousin, we were both at Notre Dame at the same time, just for example, he made all his closest friends in his dorm. And then there's other people who have their closest friends from middle school and high school and so on. So I think those who I've met who grew up traveling just seem to be really well suited to start a conversation and hold a conversation with anyone from anywhere. So I don't know. It'll of course depend on the little one, won't it?
The little one. It's true. We always just worry about that. We're like, oh, friend, like, where, you know, you just think about like, where will my kid be when they're older? Are they going to still love this life? Are they going to want to settle down? Hopefully they're good at making friends. Santi is my non-shy one, so he'll make friends with anyone, anywhere. Sonora kind of, she gives them dirty looks and eventually a smile. What impact overall, you know, you've grown up traveling. Your dad has done amazing things, and we know that you've done amazing things already and have a lot more to come. Like, what impact are you hoping to leave within the travel community?
One thing that I'm really passionate about is helping young Americans connect with the cultures and the places that they're going to visit. I love meeting people and making friends with all the different in all the different places that I'm traveling. So if I can equip and help Americans to achieve that themselves, then I'd consider that a success. It's all about breaking down those cultural barriers, getting beyond your screen, using your phone as a tool, but not letting it be some sort of barrier between yourself and the people you're there to interact with.
And now that you're on the road and you're home now in your dad's basement, as you mentioned, but when you do travel, how do you balance yourself, like the work and immersion and travel, like enjoyment aspect? You're obviously sometimes you're somewhere for a job, or at least when you were writing your book, like, are you still enjoying the experience, or how do you find that balance?
Yeah. So there's, you know, you got work, you got fun. And a third part of that equation of just well-being on the road is exercise. So I find that I'm a better, happier person if I'm getting a run in each day. But I'm bad at it. I go through phases where I'll work out every day for a month and then eat Cheetos for a month and sit on the couch. So I go back and forth. That's a challenge, but I have fun. You got to remember, I had a lot of really cool bars and neighborhoods to research for my book. So I wasn't lacking for fun, but balancing fun, work, and getting that exercise is a great way to stay healthy on the road.
That's great. So what do you see in your future now? You know, you've started this company and of helping students travel, which I don't know if we've talked enough about, but Andy started a company in Europe to help facilitate travel there. If you want to actually tell us about that before I ask, what's the future?
Sure. So my company that I've been running for the last, since 2010, is called Weekend Student Adventures. And it's a very specific name, but we do more than weekends and we do more than student trips now. So WSA Europe is the shorthand. And we set up 3-day experiences in places like Amsterdam, Paris, Budapest, Prague, Rome, Barcelona. And we do Central Europe and Italian spring break, summer break, and fall trips. And I'm really passionate, again, about connecting our customers with our local guides on the ground. So I've gone in, I've set up these itineraries, but then I find a local friend who lives there, who has their finger on the pulse of that city. And they're the ones that show up and take you around their hometown. And that's been the structure for WSA. Like I mentioned earlier, what I've been focusing on in the last few years is writing my guidebook, updating it, getting the second edition out, running the podcast, and doing a bunch of travel talks stateside to try to bridge out of just the student travel market. That's been a lot of fun. I feel like we've got some amazing products and services for students. But in the last couple of years, I've also started working with my dad's company more. I've led a series of tours for his company, including the Best of Europe 21-day tour, which is a handful for sure. But it's like a wild roller coaster ride for those people who are on it, who oftentimes it's the first time that they've ever been in Europe. So it's the first time that they're seeing Amsterdam and wandering the canals and seeing the Anne Frank house. It's the first time that they're seeing the Rhine Valley and drinking typical wine in Italy, for example, or going on a gondola cruise in Venice, going up the mountains in the Swiss Alps. So these experiences are so vivid, so impactful, that I'm excited to continue doing that. I'm looking forward to guiding more. I love making content, so I'm really focusing on my Instagram these days, Andy Steves Travel, and I'm also making some really sweet travel videos, and I'm just trying to figure out what my direction is for that. So you can check out all the latest at andysteves.com as well if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to be keeping up and see where you go. I think all of us are kind of in that journey where, I know for Rod and I, we spread ourselves so thin, and then we're like, we need to focus. We need to refocus.
It's so important.
There's just so many things to have your identity.
But I think you guys have your niche. I mean, young family travel. As long as you can keep getting those hotel contracts and those marketing gigs, that's exciting. And I think you'd have a bunch of aspiring followers.
Yeah, well, thank you. We hope so. We hope to continue to do this and meet other inspiring people like yourself along the way, who I think are really paving the way for this next generation of travel, which is so important, I think, to constantly just inspire people to get out more and to experience more. I think, especially right now, sometimes our country isn't so open to diversity at times. And I think travel really helps that with opening up and realizing there's good all around the world. Yes, there's differences, but we can all learn to respect those differences and kind of just get to know one another. So Andy, we are excited to check out your page, see what you do both on Instagram with your father. Can we expect any more books in the future from you?
That's something that I'm kind of sketching out right now. Where do you go after you highlight the 13 best cities? Do you do the 13 best, you know, off the beaten path destinations? But do you want like a guidebook of villages of Europe? I don't know. So I'm just trying to reflect and figure that out. I'm cautious about trying to reinvent the wheel. My dad has something like 50 guidebooks and they dominate the top 50 on Amazon, best-selling guidebooks to Europe. You can check it out. It's insane. They have like 26 of the top best 30 selling guidebooks in the country. So that's really quite remarkable. So I don't want to reinvent the wheel. If I'm going that direction, might as well just join the team and see what I can contribute.
That's awesome. And that's such an incredible accomplishment that your father has had just within the travel sector and with his books. And I can't even imagine the amount of people he has helped enjoy their time in Europe or on their travels around the world. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome that you have that person to mentor you, that you have that person to mentor you as you step in and kind of join the team, as you say. Mm-hmm. And it's just really exciting because I know so many people know your father and have looked up to him. And I'm sure he wants to retire one day. And now you kind of get to take on that work for him and continue the legacy.
It just feels like really big shoes to fill.
Well, I'm sure you will find your way to make it your own at the same time, you know, and hopefully and love it along the way.
Yeah.
I think that's so important, is to be passionate about what you're doing. So, well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's awesome to hear about your experiences traveling as a kid, how those have impacted you through today, what you have accomplished already in this travel industry, and kind of what the future holds for you. We're excited to see all the amazing things you do coming up.
Oh, thanks. And it's been great to chat with you as well, Jess. So stay in touch and let me know when you pass through Colombia.
We really hope you enjoyed this conversation with Andy Steeves. Andy, thank you so much for joining us today. If you are interested in following along on Andy's adventures, you can check him out on Instagram at Andy Steeves Travel. Or if you'd like to book a tour across Europe, you can check out Andy's website, www.wsaeurope.com. On next week's episode, we are answering one of the questions that we receive the most, and that is, how do we work with all of the companies that we do on photography projects as we travel? So we're really excited to show you our process for how we pitch, how we land those collabs, and how we go through them to develop and deliver amazing content for those brands. So if you don't want to miss it, make sure that you subscribe to the show. We would really appreciate it. And we can't wait to share everything that we've learned about collaborating and working with brands next week. So until next time, happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.
Ever wonder if they were listening to you? So did Al Franken. Yep, that Al Franken. He was just on our podcast impersonating his former Senate colleagues in the name of privacy.
What the Hack with Adam Levin will make you feel more chill about the unchill things that happen online and off, with easy-to-understand tips to make your life a little less hackable.
Join us as we look at the ways people get scammed and hacked. What the Hack with Adam Levin is a weekly cyber true crime show that unravels a fresh new hell every Monday.
What the Hack with me, Adam Levin. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lincoln, board certified OBGYN, and you may know me from social media, where I spend a lot of my time educating about everything reproductive health. This podcast is called Let's Talk About Down There, and that's what I'm doing. I am talking about down there with no shame, no stigma, a lot of fun, and a lot of education. And why? Because when we talk about these things, we educate and we empower ourselves. Call in, leave a question, and know that it's okay to have questions about your body, and we're going to answer them.